Welcome to the Dietitians Unplugged podcast with Aaron Flores and Glenys Oyston. Join us as we explore the idea of health and wellness from a new perspective. Each episode, we will explore topics that help you improve your health, body image, and fitness without obsessing on the scale or counting calories. We believe in health at every size, intuitive eating, and body positivity. In each new episode, we are going to help you build the confidence you need to ditch the scale and embrace your health without shaming your body. Welcome back to another episode of Dietitians Unplugged. I'm Aaron Flores here with Glenys Oyston. We are here for our third episode, and we wanted to spend some time talking today about everyone's favorite talk show guru, Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah!
As many of you might have heard, she recently purchased 10% of Weight Watchers and is now partnering with Weight Watchers. And for many of us in the intuitive eating and health at every size camps, it sort of blew our minds.
Yeah, we're crying sad tears.
Yeah. So why do you think most of us are crying?
I think that Oprah has been such a champion of self-actualization. I mean, we talked about this before and that was such a great word, but she has really been all about empowering women, empowering people, and then she's joined Weight Watchers now, and she's going to change her body again. And I think that, you know, she's brought so much to us, and now in the end, what she's saying is, I'm not good enough. And I think if we hear that, we think, well, we're not good enough either. If Oprah's not good enough the way she is.
You know, and again, I'm not a woman, big surprise, but again, you're right. She's done so much work, especially within the past 5 years of really trying to empower women, trying to help women find and build lives that are meaningful away from this constant pressure to be perfect. And it's been so admirable to see all the different things that she's trying to help, especially women, do. And then I felt like this is just a stab in the back.
Right. And it's so sad to me because of what Oprah has accomplished. I mean, she opened a school in Africa for girls who had no education. And to me, that's such an amazing thing that she did. It's a huge accomplishment. And in the end, the thing that we're talking about is, oh, Oprah's losing weight on Weight Watchers. You know, that's, and to me, it comes back to, for Oprah, I envision her thinking, well, I've done all this. I've opened a school in Africa. I'm the richest woman in the world or something like that. And in the end, I still am not good enough because I have to change what I look like. And people can argue maybe it's about Oprah wanting to get healthy, but I think we've had such a relationship with Oprah for so long. She's dieted again and again. She's lost weight. She's gained weight. She's lost weight. She's gained weight. I think we know that this isn't just about getting healthy. If it were just about getting healthy, you wouldn't have to join Weight Watchers and buy stock in Weight Watchers, which is, you know, Weight Watchers is about the scale.
Right. So. I mean, essentially at its core, Weight Watchers, no matter how they're going to spin it, especially in future iterations as Oprah comes on board, Weight Watchers is about losing weight.
It's right? in the name.
Right. Exactly.
Weight Watchers. Right.
Inherently, the program is built for you to lose weight.
Absolutely.
And again, this is why we have this perspective of really being so against diets is because the focus is on changing your body. That's the ultimate focus instead of being healthy. I mean, really, they're going to call it whatever they want. But in the end, it's basically saying, my body isn't okay. I need to change it. And this program will help me do that. And that, to me, is at the core of why this partnership is so upsetting. Is because, aside from Oprah's personal journey, we don't know what her journey is, and we don't know anything about that. We can only guess because
she's a public figure. She's told us. Right.
But again, it's just for the millions of women out there and men that it sends this message that your body's not okay.
Right.
Your body's not okay. And that to me, you can't be, that goes against the self-actualization part of her message.
Right. And she has, I thought I heard that when she stopped doing her talk show. She said, I'm never going to diet again. And it's obvious, I think, for Oprah that the dieting is an addiction to some degree. We kind of remember back to the 80s when she lost a ton of weight on some, I can't remember what the plan was, some shake system. And she came out in her little Calvin Klein jeans and wheeling the big wagon of 67 pounds of fat that she lost. And that was sort of the first time we went, oh, look, Oprah did it. And then she gained all that weight back. And then she did another plan. She had her trainer and her chef, or her chef trainer, whatever he was, wrote a book with him. I mean, Oprah's had the best of all worlds when it comes to, she can have the trainers and chefs and people to police her.
Unlimited resources.
Unlimited resources. And if Oprah hasn't been able to sustain weight loss over the long term with the best resources available, then I don't know why she's thinking at this point it's possible to do it with Weight Watchers. But if she can't do that, then I think that kind of speaks to how impossible it is.
So here's the real question. Yeah. Is, do you think Oprah did this to lose weight, or do you think Oprah did it to make money?
I know what you think. You think...
I think it's all about the money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is... And some of the new articles are coming out today. I mean, Oprah has already made $100 million on this investment. And it's been, you know, a month. If I could make $100 million in a month, that's a no-brainer. I mean,
would you buy stock in Weight Watchers?
No,
to do
no,
that?
I, no, it's not a no-brainer. You wouldn't do it. It's not a no-brainer. But that's really compelling. I mean, the fact that, you know, her investment affected so much of their bottom line already, I think is a big part of why she's doing this.
I think that the money part is probably a huge part of it. Oprah is an amazing businesswoman. She is rich beyond belief, and she hasn't done that by being stupid about money. So, but I also think that there is a component of drinking the Kool-Aid, drinking the Weight Watchers Kool-Aid, because it is really seductive. And she has tried it, and she's lost some pounds, and she's probably thinking, hey, this is great. Why isn't everybody doing this? I'm going to bring this to the world. So I do think that there might be a component to it where she is, I mean, I hope that there is in some way. I don't want it to be just about the money for her. I hope, and I don't hope, I guess, yeah, that it's a sincere belief that it's not just about the money. But I do think that there's maybe a sincerity component.
And so... Here's my question for you, because mm-hmm. I've never done Weight Watchers. I've mm-hmm. done other stuff, but you've sipped that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
How good does it taste, that first sip?
It's so good. It's like Kool-Aid, but they put vodka in it, and then, you know, and then the inevitable bad results at the end. But yeah, it's really a seductive thing. You go, I did go initially, I think I did want to lose weight when I first went, but I also wanted to learn how to eat because I did not really know how to construct a healthy diet or a balanced diet. So I went, and it's so great. You go and they're so welcoming, and you go in and like, welcome, this is the first day of the rest of your life kind of thing. And there's a lot of other ladies, mostly ladies, a few men once in a while, sitting around kind of, oh yeah, we've all got the same problem. We're all trying to do the same thing, lose weight, feel better about ourselves, eat healthier. But honestly, I don't remember anybody talking about eating healthier. It was really about losing weight. So it is a super seductive experience when you go in and you feel you have this amazing optimism for the future about, you know, how much better your yeah. life is going to be when you lose the weight.
So, you know, maybe that is a part of it for her, yeah. is that sip of Kool-Aid, right? That being a part of it is probably very seductive to her as well.
Right. And I don't think Oprah knew she was going to make $100 million, obviously. And it, probably part of the reason she did make it is because if Oprah invests in it, people are going to see it as a good investment. And the reality is Weight Watcher stock has been falling for a long time. And I think it was an article by Virgie Tovar, who's a great fat activist and health at every size person. She basically said she sees it as a good sign that, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, but that if Weight Watchers needs Oprah to come in and save them, they're kind of screwed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because our previous podcast was about Tracy Mann mm-hmm. and her book. And she wrote this article about Oprah, why it's so brilliant for Oprah to join Weight Watchers, because from a business standpoint, that Weight Watchers is banking on you failing, right? Right. Their business plan assumes that you will enroll up to four times at least, you know, so they're hoping for those repeat customers. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, from a business standpoint, maybe Oprah knew that and says, listen, I'm getting a whole bunch of new people in, and I'll bring them and they'll be lifelong members and just more enrollment. Right. You know, I think the important thing to also think about is that Weight Watchers is going to benefit from this also.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, having Oprah a part of their team now, I think does something for them. And I think the interesting thing for them is that it allows them to sort of bring in Oprah's self-actualization message into their fold, where they become Weight Watchers. We're not really, you know, again, it's a lifestyle now.
Right.
Right. Become empowered. Become, you know, follow Oprah's master class in Weight Watchers. Right. So it's not just losing weight now. It's more holistic. It's more the whole person. But in the end, I think it's just BS. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's just, it is. This is a perfect example of just co-opting a health at every size type message veiled within a weight loss program.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd be interested to go and see. No, I'm not going to join Weight Watchers again. That ship has sailed. I joined so many times and been a lifetime member several times. But, you know, unless they're going to start a program, a part of their program where it's like, hey, come and do the system and don't get on the scale and we don't care what you weigh. Unless they kind of introduce that component to it, it's still the same crap. It's still, you come in every week and you get on a scale and basically they don't care how you've been eating. They just, if you came in and lost weight, then you're a success that week. And if you used all your points that week on eating M&Ms all week, but you still managed to lose some weight, they'd be like, that's great. You totally worked a program. Good job. Keep doing that. And you'd go and think, well, I'm going to keep eating M&Ms all the time, you know, and they don't care. And they don't have dietitians there. They don't have professionals there. It's just people who went through the program and maybe they were just eating crap too the whole time to lose weight. But basically Weight Watchers does not care how you're eating. If you're being healthy, if you're getting vegetables, they don't encourage that. And I've sat in the meetings and I know that they don't, it's not about just eating healthy. It's about restricting and to make that number move down.
So when you weigh yourself in Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. Is the leader recording it or do you self-report it?
No, you go in and somebody is standing at the scale and they weigh you and then they write the number down. And it's not a huge shaming process. It's confidential. You go in and, you know, but there is a moment of you, you know, getting on and, oh, I lost or I gained 0.2 pounds. And they're kind of like, well, what did you do this week? You know, oh, it's okay. You know, talk to the leader after, but it is kind of a humiliating moment that you're sharing with somebody.
Listen, and you and I have talked about this many times. It's one of the reasons why we want to practice the way we want to do it, because we know that the sheer act of weighing someone is shaming. And to sit there and calculate or record someone's weight as they step on a scale in a lot of contexts is very difficult for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And that number on the scale, if it went down, that determines how you feel or up. It determines how you feel for the whole week. So it does become all about that number ultimately.
Yeah.
And reaching that goal. Otherwise you don't get to go on maintenance and you don't become a lifetime member. And that's, you feel like, oh, I just didn't make it. And the other thing is that I actually also worked for Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Twice. So I kind of seen it from both sides. And, the last time I worked for them was 5 years ago and it was really brief. It was right before I found Health at Every Size. And all of a sudden I just had this total, it was like being deprogrammed after being in a cult for so long. And I just went and I thought, I don't want to get on the scale anymore. Why do you care what I weigh? Who gives a crap? You know?
Yeah.
So it is kind of, it's not at all about health.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Again, we have January 1st right around the corner, mm-hmm. which is, you know, everyone who makes a New Year's resolution, the diet industry is licking their lips right now, thinking about new programs to launch for the coming year. So it'll be interesting to see how Weight Watchers comes in at the end of December and the beginning of January to start marketing this new program, whatever it'll look like,
right,
to the masses.
And people used to ask me all the time, oh, what's the new program look like at Weight Watchers? And I, once they switched over to the points, which is in the late 90s, I mean, their new program, it's been points ever since then. It's not really, oh, we tweak it here. We, oh, now you don't have to count carrots, something like that. You know, right. It's, there's nothing really new about it. It's still, you're going in, you're trying to eat less, you're counting things, you're journaling, you're, you know, it's a diet. So, right. And I know that people have been mad on, you know, anytime I've responded to articles on the internets and Facebook and Twitter, people, someone will inevitably pipe up and say, oh, but Weight Watchers has helped so many people. And how could you say this about them? They're not, you know, they're not the diet company like the rest of the diet company. And I say, just show me the data, you know, show me the numbers. And Weight Watchers won't, you know, show those numbers, and they won't study those numbers, even though they could very easily. They've been recording online data for at least 15 years now, and they could easily put those numbers together and show that they're plans don't work.
Right. So. Well, with Oprah, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that will be interesting for me to see is what she brings to it. And when, again, when we talk about self-actualization, you know, this sort of self or introspective analysis that I always think is so important when it comes to intuitive eating and health at every size, to really get down to why you're eating, learning how to be comfortable around food, be comfortable with your body. It'll be interesting to see how they try and adopt some of these things into Weight Watchers and trying to spin it so it's not a focus on weight. That's what I look forward to seeing.
That will be really interesting to see. I mean, if they get rid of their scales, then, you know.
And change their name.
And change their name so it doesn't talk about weight watching.
Right.
That would be very interesting. But I don't have a great deal of faith that it's going to change that dramatically.
No, I think
the change is Oprah's faces and their ads.
Exactly.
And I think the other thing that when we think about all of these people who have sort of promoted Weight Watchers before, I'm thinking Kirstie Alley was one of them. And I mean, usually we also have to watch the spectacular failure, the weight gain, and it's so public. And I will feel for Oprah if we have to see her go through that.
So I think that's a really important point that you just brought up, is that, again, you know, Oprah's journey with her weight is incredibly public, and we are not public figures. So people, we get it maybe just from the stranger, but imagine having millions of people comment about her size. And so I think it's important that in our conversations right now, like, we're trying to not make this about her. It's not about her size. It's not about, but it's just understanding that obviously through this partnership, it seems like she has work to do in accepting of her body, and that we all know how difficult it is to not have that body positivity, and how hard it is to get it, and what a process it is to get it. And I can only imagine how being a public figure impacts that.
Right. I mean, I think that we are going to have to give a lot of compassion to Oprah as she goes through this and ends up on the cover of the Inquirer with them saying, Oprah out of control, Oprah on a binge, you know, showing her eating a contraband hot dog or something like that. Right. And I think it'll be really very sad for me to watch, but also very familiar. And unfortunately, nobody will look back and say, oh, look, that's proof that Weight Watchers didn't work.
Right.
They'll say, that's proof that Oprah failed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great point to sort of sum it all together, is that, unfortunately, probably the message will be Oprah is the failure if it doesn't work for her long term, like we suspect it won't. And that's where the stigma comes in. That's where the judgment about people's size comes in. And that's the saddest part of it all.
Right. And I know that Oprah has said she's going to give up, or she's giving up dieting, and hopefully this will maybe be the last time, but I don't know. It's hard to say.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Anything else you want to add on Oprah?
No, I just feel incredibly disappointed, but it'll be interesting to watch, you know, over the long term and see what happens and see if Weight Watchers changes at all. But,
I would agree. Again, extremely disappointed, sad, upset.
Yeah. But she, you know, Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil have kind of done that for me too. She did bring us Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil. So,
which has given us so much material to talk about and to tweet about and to post on Facebook.
Right. So, you know, sad in some ways and great fodder for the internet in other ways.
Future episodes of Dietitians Unplugged. Right. Thank Oprah in advance.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up then. And this is our third episode, again, with Glennis Oyston and Aaron Flores, Dietitians Unplugged. We look forward to another episode. If you ever have any ideas, just leave them in the comments section on our iTunes feed, and we'll think about doing a podcast about it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
All right. Have a good one.